I thought I'd sort of start or finish the year, let's say, by reviewing what's happened in the year. Lots of different things have happened. So what did God say last year at the end of the year? What did God say this year? What's God said for next year? No, I'm never going to be able to do all those things in one session, so we're going to take the next two or three sessions to actually pick up on those things. Where are we prophetically now? And what does God want us to do in 2014? Where does God want us to go in 2014? And those are important questions to ask. Because if we're not in alignment with what God said and where God wants us to be, then we're out of alignment. And it's not a good place to be out of alignment with God. Because if we're out of alignment, if we're off the path that he set for us, then everything that he has prepared for us and all the things that he has for us, we're not going to discover and find, because we're wandering around doing our own thing. So it's important for God to show us where we are and where he wants us to be. And that is not just corporately, it's individually. And God wants us to understand individually. Sons of Issachar. Sons of Issachar is a prophetic title that was given to lots of different groups of people, but we had had it prophesied over us. 1 Chronicles 12:32, of the sons of Issachar, men who understood the times with knowledge of what Israel should do. And it's a prophetic sense of knowing what's God saying, what is going on, and then knowing what to do about it. And also, it's the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles 7, verse 5, it says, their relatives among all the families of Issachar were mighty men of valor. And there's a sense that what God has called us to do in being forerunners and going before and opening up a way for others needs strength and it needs valor, it needs courage. Because you have to face things first that others don't have to face when they come behind. Now that's just what it's like. We align ourselves with a prophetic timetable, so we're looking for what God has said and where we are on this timetable. In the early church, there were wine and fire and wind of the Spirit that were poured out, and the early church was described as early rain and former glory, but there will be a greater latter rain and a greater latter glory. So there's more to come. What started the church off will be nothing in comparison with how the church finishes. So we've got to look for those things that are to come. And so this prophetic timetable, basically what this little thing there, we've gone through this period, and these periods don't end because God wants us to come into alignment with him. So he's going to continue to give people opportunities. So where are we on this timetable? Well, we've been called to intimacy, to know that we are have a royal identity. We're in this place here where God is removing stumbling blocks, gathering those things which are hindrances, and releasing a Joshua generation, a generation who are going to take possession of their land and lead others. And so where are we? Well, I would say we're around here, just before this judgment of God's household. So we're in a place where fire is being released, but nowhere near as what it's going to be released. So we've got to be ready, and we'll see that God's told us to be that. In 2010, we saw a lot of eagles, and prophetically, and that was talking about an apostolic sense of what God was doing, and we saw books opened and prophetic revelation released. And the realms of heaven opened to us. 2011, there was a lot of instances of the lion, and people saw the lion, which is a kingly role, and we had something of our destiny scroll released in 2011. 2012, the ox, and these represent, of course, the four faces of God, and that ox represents the prophetic, and there was a year of transformation where we looked at how we can be transformed. 2013, the year of the man, a priestly function, and that was about aligning heaven and earth, bringing agreement. Now, that was a really difficult year because people don't necessarily want to come into agreement and alignment with God. And so there's a challenge of how you deal with that. So 2013, establishing heavenly governmental patterns on earth so that earthly agreement can come with heaven. Because when there is agreement in heaven, it needs to find agreement on earth so that it opens up that heaven for it to come to earth. And it's like you have a picture of three in heaven Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, looking for the fourth on earth man to come into agreement. And then it opens up the windows of heaven, or the everlasting doors, different terminology that God uses, so that he can release heaven to come to earth. But there has to be agreement. And if there isn't agreement, then the windows stay shut. And God wants us to come into agreement. But it's not into agreement of what we think. It's into agreement with what he said from heaven. So that, as Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to have, as it is in heaven, released on earth. And the way to do that is to engage in heaven, get what God is saying, and then bring that into agreement with earth. And in this year, we've looked at what is our inheritance as God's people, as individuals, and as a church, we've been called to be forerunners, to raise up a Joshua generation, so that we can bring a next generation into the fullness of what God's got. All the previous generations seem to stop, and the baton doesn't seem to get passed on, because the previous generation protects and maintains rather than advances. So God has given revelation from heaven, which has been awesome, but then rather than moving on with that revelation and seeing what else is God saying, let's move with him, it's been, right, we're going to protect this because this is right and we're going to defend it. And that always leads to battles and opposition with what's coming next. And you see over church history, moves of God opposing the next moves of God. Well, we have to be in a place where we don't oppose the next move of God. We join with it, and then we can multiply the effect of it rather than starting from scratch all over again. Last year, God spoke and talked about new things, and he used scriptures like Isaiah 43:18. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder on things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And so the whole year we've been looking at the journey out of Egypt into the promised land. And God has made a pathway to follow, to come from that place of the world, going through the wilderness and coming into the promises that God has, a fullness of our inheritance. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. God is always a God of the new. He always wants to give us fresh revelation of himself, deeper revelation of himself. He wants to take us to new places and give us new things, because that's what he's like. He's a creative God. He doesn't stay still. He's the same yesterday and today forever, but we don't know what he's like yesterday yet in fullness, or today, or forever, because he is outside and transcendent, if you like, as well as imminent and with us. He's also outside and transcendent. So there's a whole dimension that we have to come into. And so we can't just say, well, I know what God's like fully. I know what the Bible says about God. I know what I've personally experienced about God. But God is bigger than all that. He's infinite. And so for me to think I know everything about God is a ridiculous thing. And so there has to be within us something that says there's got to be more. And God places that desire in us for more of him so we can move into it. Some of the things God said, says it is a time for the change of season. The old season will continue, but a new season will be layered over it. Now, that is a place of transition, a time of transition to let go of the old and embrace the new. Now, that's not easy for anybody, to let go of the old things, because the old things are comfortable and familiar, and we know about them, and we are aware of them. And when something new comes, it's a challenge. Ooh, this is new. Is this right? Do I let it go? Do I grab it? There's all sorts of questions that comes in a period of transition. But a period of transition can only last for so long, because you have to say, am I going to accept what is this new thing that God is saying, or am I going to stay with what I know and just carry on as it was before? God said, you have been invited to know the real me so that you can be forerunners of the glory presence. You will see angels on assignments amongst you, and the cloud of witnesses will descend and start to appear. Now, we've seen lots and lots of angelic things this year. And that's just the start, because there's lots more to come. Your regional authority will spread out and new government will be formed. Now, that's prophetically what God said the end of last year, and we've seen that take place this year. I'm going to give you access to higher courts and higher thrones. Now, we've definitely seen that, and I'll explain some of that to you. You must take your places. The old orders have to die so that you can succeed and be enthroned at new higher levels of power and authority. Now, what that means is that the old way that we do things has to go. Before a new king can come, an old one has to go, either by abdication or by dying. And so when God is bringing you into something new, the old things have to go. They have to die. New places in the realms of heaven will be open to you if you persevere through the fiery pillar of judgment. Let go of the old to embrace the new. New, new, new. Now, God was trying to get a point over here. There is new things. New for old. You can't keep hold of the old and get the new as well. Because God wants new for old. He wants to exchange something, and he's challenged us to let go of the old to embrace the new. So this year was a year to align heaven and earth, to replace the old with the new. We've seen the three of apostolic heavenly authority needs to find agreement on earth so that the fourth will open the windows of heaven. This has been a year of attack by the political and religious spirit. Jesus warned that the leaven of Herod and Pharisees would try and infiltrate and bring political and religious things. Political and religious spirits always attack new things because they want you to stay anchored to the old. They don't want you to move. They want to stay right, and they want to fight and argue over what's right and what's wrong. It's a year that's been a challenge to old mindsets. A year to challenge our old worldviews, our old paradigms, our old ways of doing things. A year where old mindsets and views have been exposed. And that makes it really quite difficult. A year of tension. Now, I'm giving you it as it is. I'm not sugaring it up. Actually, it's been a really difficult year. And some people would not know that. But underneath, actually, it's a year of tension. Because we've had to transition from old things to new things. And no matter where you are, it's not easy. A year where the old pastoral form of earthly church government has been opposed and resisted the new apostolic heavenly order. Now, that's not just been here. That's all over the world. There's been a challenge because when God starts to bring something new out of heaven, the earthly wants to control it. And the religious and the political system is what the enemies use to do that. The masks of old identity and coverings have been challenged. Being closed, hidden, secret. Actually, God wants us to be open. New levels of openness and honesty and reality God wants us to walk in. New level of honor and respect and commitment is required. And we'll see that God's spoken about those things. See, Joshua, when he was going to go into the promised land, had a time of consecration. It was like, who wants to go? Who's willing to go into the new things? And he presented them with a choice. And over these next 3 weeks, I'm going to present people with a choice. Do you want to go into the new things? Or do you want to stay with the old? 2.5 tribes decided to stay in the old wilderness ways. Now, Joshua didn't stop them. He allowed them the choice. God will always allow us the choice whether we stay with the old or embrace the new. He's not going to force it. And so we want people to embrace the new, but actually we can't have a mixture of old and new for much longer. In August 2010, I had a series of heavenly encounters and visions. And one of those visions, I was on a horse going up a valley. And there were people behind me and horses. Now, the horse always represents the Holy Spirit to me because it takes you higher and you can see things differently. And this valley was going upwards. And so I started in this vision to walk up, climb up on the horse. And on the sides, there were caves. And coming out of the caves, there were these horrible-looking, demonic-looking creatures drooling and dripping things down. Very, very, not a very nice vision. But they were trying to intimidate, and they were trying to drop stuff down onto me as I was climbing up the valley. Now, eventually, I got to the top, and I was right at the top of the valley, looking out into the clouds, thinking, hey, where do I go higher? And God said to me, turn around. So I turned around, and there was no one behind me. So I thought, ah, okay, maybe I've gone too fast. So in this vision, God said, go back to the beginning. So I went back to the beginning, and some people were standing, wandering. Some people were on horses. Some people were trying to get on other people's horses. Some people were trying to double up and stuff, because that was what was going on. And so I thought, okay, we're not ready to go to the top yet. But we can't stop, so we're going to have to take things slowly. So it's taken 3.5 years to get where we are now. And so we've not rushed that. And even at that point, where God is now taking us to the top and saying you need to go higher, it's whether people want to go or not. Do people want to go higher, or do people want to stay in the valley? There's a decision to be made. In January 2012, God gave us 3 years to prepare and be ready for future shaking that was going to come. So if you can do any maths, you'll know that 2 years of those 3 years have gone. So this coming year is a really, really important year to embrace, because we need to be ready for what's coming. So in June the 21st, which was about halfway through the year, something tipped. I know Nigel was feeling this, that there was a balance, something shifted. And since that point, there has been a release of the sound of heaven. That sound some of us have been hearing for a number of years, but it was released into a greater dimension at the beginning of this year. 2014 is a key year, and we can't afford to be distracted by old battles. We've got to end them and move on. And so that is why at the beginning of the year, we're going to present where God is taking us, and we're going to look to move on to it. God spoke about preparing the house for glory and rewiring the house. Now, the house represents the church, but it also represents our lives. And we had Larry Pearson here, who's a prophetic voice, who told us in quite interesting ways that we needed to rewire the house. So we need to rewire how we think and how we do things. And we need to prepare the house for the glory of God's presence. If God came in his glorious presence and we weren't ready for it, you end up dead, crisped. Because you can't stand the glory of God's presence when you're not ready. And so God has given us warning to prepare and be ready. Because God wants to see a reflection or a shadow of heaven on earth that he can come and occupy. And he wants to fully occupy that. So he's looking around the earth for places that he can come and occupy. They're called revival places, apostolic resource centers, habitations of God. People call them different things. But God is looking for places so he can set up cities of refuge. Cities of refuge were places in the Old Testament where people in trouble could go to. When the world starts to be shaken, God is looking to raise up cities of refuge so that people who are in trouble can come and find safety and security and a place of peace and God's presence. And God is looking all over the earth for those who will embrace new things so that they're ready to be those cities of refuge. Now, as God has given us this revelation, we're responsible for it. Therefore, we've got to take it seriously. So, the question is, are we aligned to that revelation? And are we acting like forerunners? Or are we still fighting and arguing over what's right and what's wrong? Now, at the beginning of last year, I brought a group of people together and said, look, we need to examine our hearts. What of the old is in our hearts? What are the old things that are blockages? What are the old things that are hindrances? Is there anything we've done wrong? And sometimes you have to ask the question. Not that you go and deliberately do things wrong, but sometimes you get out of alignment because you just do things the way you always done them rather than seeking God. See, when Joshua went in and took the promised land, they had this heavenly strategy for removing the obstacle of Jericho so that they could go into the land. And they obeyed that strategy. And then there was this small little place called Ai in their way. And they thought, oh, we'll just go and get rid of that. That'll be easy after Jericho. But actually, they were defeated by a small group of people because they didn't seek God to continue with the strategy that God gave. So we've got to be always seeking God's strategy and asking, is there any areas of disobedience? Is there any procrastination? Are we putting off for tomorrow something God wants us to do today? So we asked those questions. And God spoke and said, this is a time for the removal of limitations and ceilings. It's like we don't want things stopping us going higher into the things of God. God is going to deliver us from the thinking processes that limit the future. Now is the time to arise and shine, a dawning of a new day. Again, a new day. But we've got to be ready for that new day. New for old is like an insurance policy. You know, my first household insurance policy didn't have new for old because it cost a lot more and we didn't have the money to buy a new for old policy. We soon found out that that was rather short-sighted when something broke and they wouldn't give us the money for a new one. They gave us the money for the old one, which was less, so we couldn't replace it. A new for old insurance policy replaces old broken things with things that are new current value, so you can actually have new things. So when God moves his grace, anointing, power, the life of his life in things leaves the old. It doesn't go instantly. And if you see in the Old Testament, the story of the glory of God leaving the temple, it didn't just disappear from the temple. It went from the holy place right out the door eventually and then left bit by bit until it had gone. And the people there, some of them didn't even realize. And the same could be said for the anointing that was on Samson. He didn't realize it had gone until he came to fight the Philistines and they overpowered him. We have to be really careful that we don't look for the old things and think we can carry on using the old methods because we end up doing them in our own strength, in an earthly ability rather than a supernatural ability, because God's grace is gone. God's grace is going from the old ways. And if you want to stay in the old ways, then you stay on your own without God's power and grace. And that's a dangerous place to be. And many people have been faced with the choices of whether we're going to stay with what we know or whether we're going to embrace something new. A new government for old. That's what we had to face here. Are we going to carry on doing things we've always done, or are we going to embrace a new government? And we had to say, yes, we're going to embrace something new, but that doesn't mean it's easy. So we replaced an old eldership and leadership team with a new bench of three and seven housekeepers and a council of 12. Now, I'm not going to go into what those things are today. We'll look at that another time. But we had to replace it, and that has been a testing period. When we replace old earthly things for new heavenly things. The old earthly things were fine. But when new things come, those old things start to move away. Old revelation for new revelation. Old mindsets for new. Old methods of teaching for new. So next year, or is next year, just, we're going to look to do things differently by bringing the revelation that God's given us of how we encounter him from less of a seminar talking style into more of a how do we engage it practical style. Because that's what God has given us as revelation. We can all meet with him personally by encounter, and he can speak to us. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes you need teaching or encouraging, but actually we can all hear God for ourselves, and God wants us to. In our personal lives, every one of us is responsible for doing what God's called us to do on a daily basis. If you can't hear God, how can you do what he's calling you to do? So we have to equip everybody to hear God. So we're going to look to do that. Earthly methodologies for heavenly strategies. Old levels of relationship for new. The level of relationship that we've had with each other won't be enough in the new things. Hence, God is wanting us to remove all the barriers so that we can be open, honest with each other. A new worldview and a paradigm. An old book for a new. And we'll see that we had a prophetic word in the middle of the year which talked about an old book being removed and a new book being released. An old season for a new season. It's all about old for new. Question is, are we willing to let go of the old to embrace the new? And it's a choice everyone has to make. You can stay in the Moses generation in the wilderness, and many did. Now, their fate wasn't a good one. They ended up dying there. And the 2.5 tribes that stayed on the other side of the Jordan didn't really have a very good history. In fact, you can't see them mentioned in Scripture much after that at all, because they weren't in the place where their inheritance was. Now, at the beginning of the year, I met with a couple of people regionally who I've been meeting with for a couple of years, and we came and we stepped into heaven together, and we basically presented an empty scroll for each other's situations and asked God for revelation. And each of us then presented to the other a scroll that God showed us in heaven. And this is the scroll that we were given, I was given, for here by one of the others in that group. This is what it said, an apostolic resource center. Now, I've put in brackets, that is the vision, not a building. This building is not the apostolic resource center. It is the vision that we've been given, the resources. It said realigning the parts of the apostolic vision. So all the different ministries and groups we had needed to be realigned. To serve a bigger vision, removing the barriers of individual identities. So doing things individually on our own was not an option anymore. Government formed and empowered to strategically lead that vision. So there was going to be a new form of government established. And then it said on it, approved, commissioned, and financed. And that was given by somebody else. Now, we received that, and within the year we've looked to do that. So we looked to bring the church and FSP as a project in this building back together into alignment. And as we've done that, God has blessed. This time last year, we were facing a situation where we had to remove everyone's contracts by 30% and close for a day a week. Now we're in a position where we're looking to expand and grow what we're doing, because God has provided, because we've come back into alignment and agreement with him. Freedom Communities has been formed from what was House of Heroes. We've realigned those ministries together and formed an alliance of ministries to work together into fulfilling God's purposes. We've formed an apostolic council to provide strategic direction for those ministries. Freedom Social Projects and Freedom Communities are now in a process of unifying, which is going to, again, produce greater blessing so that we can release God's vision and purpose on a wider sphere in what we're doing. So in this year, we've had to work through that process, and that has not been an easy process. Still working it through. That is a picture of the court system of heaven. Remember, God said that he was going to open up different realms of heaven and higher levels of courts. Now, at the beginning of the year, the only court I'd been in was this mobile court and the court of angels. I'd never been in any of these other courts. Court of war, chancellors, kings, Court of Councils of the Fathers, Court of the Upright, Court of the Scribes. I'd not been into them, let alone any of the ones that are up there beyond the realm of heaven. Now I've been in 7 of those 8 courts this year, because God said that if we pursued him, he would open it up. Now that has brought a different level of understanding and a different level of how heaven works with earth. because it's about aligning heaven with earth. Heaven is a kingdom that operates on a judicial basis, because it says that the foundation of the kingdom is righteousness and justice. So there's a judicial aspect of God's kingdom that needs to be outworked in heaven and then on earth. Jesus, when he came from heaven, brought that judicial authority with him and began to change things and transform things, and he's called us to do the same from now on. So, my first encounter in this year was in a court, in the angelic court, and I was given a scroll. And on that scroll, I normally see it, and I wasn't allowed to see it. And it was like, it was just a scroll. Now, normally in heaven, the scriptures in Ezekiel, it says, well, you get a scroll, you eat it. Take it on the inside of you so that it actually becomes part of you. Well, I wasn't told to do that. I was told to plant it in the garden of my heart. And as I did that, it grew into a tree, and on the tree were silver trumpets. Now, Numbers 10:2 says, make yourself two silver trumpets of hammered work. You shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking the camp. And so these silver trumpets have been part of what God has been doing this year in heralding something new and bringing something new into being. And so this year has been a significant time where we've been blowing trumpets prophetically to call things into a new season. On the 8th of July, God said this: it is time to facilitate the identification and removal of the masks that have been, that hinder and stop true identity being revealed. And we then looked, in terms of teaching, to look about how we looked at our identity, our redemptive gift, and our destiny. You have 18 months to become a culture of honor. This will expand your space and give you room for all the gifts to function. A culture of honor is where we respect and honor each other in the different gifts and callings and things God has called us, so that they can all be released. We don't get jealous of each other. We don't criticize each other. We don't judge each other. We recognize that we're all called by God to function in his kingdom, and we support and encourage that function. Because judgment is coming, be ready. Be prepared to face the judgment seat. God is going to hold us to account. Identify and raise up the lords that will rule the seven mountain thrones of their destinies and the freedom mandates. I'll explain what that means more fully when we look at what God's called us to do. But we have seven spheres of authority that God's given us as a church. Seven mountains representing in heaven that give us a sphere to operate here on earth. But for those to fully function, you have to have people ruling those mountains. And God is calling us to raise those up, and we've been doing it this year. It is time for responsibility and authority to be released, but only to those who wear no masks and have dealt with false humility and are willing to be recognized in the destinies that God has ordained for them, basically. Insecurity, fear, control, contempt, familiarity exist and need to be dealt with. Now, that's not a very pleasant thing to hear, but actually it's what God said. So we've been looking to deal with those things in ourselves and amongst what God's been doing. Jezebel deception must be unmasked, and honesty and openness must take its place. There must be a time of exposure, bringing everything into the light so that the eyes of the Lord will release the all-consuming fire. Because God wants to purify and refine us. He doesn't want us to stay the same. To be honored, to honor everybody, we must be willing to recognize the gifts, the offices, the ranks, the divisions that they're called to operate in. You see, we're not all the same. If you have an army, the army has generals, colonels, captains, lieutenants, sergeant, majors, sergeants, corporals, privates. That's what it takes to have an army. Now, if the private doesn't recognize the general, then he won't do what the general says. Now, that's how it works. And God is calling us to recognize each other and be willing to be that. Because he's called us here to be officers in the army. To be those who are able to lead others. And that's what God wants to rise up here. And we'll see that more in other things. Gatekeepers must be ready to take their places, to be lifted up as heads and be true gateways of heaven to earth. That's what God has said. Now we're looking for gatekeepers. We're looking for those who are willing to take responsibility, who are willing to be lifted up into the heavens and to begin to rule. Now you can look around and think, oh, I'm not sure I could do that. You've all been given spheres of authority to rule anyway, within your own personal lives. And if you're not ruling them, then the lives around you will be chaos and disorder and dysfunction. If you begin to rule from heaven, then you can create order, peace, blessing, joy, love around yourselves. That's what God is calling us to do. It's time to take your places of responsibility in the heavens and manifest the rule of God. Now, this is not me saying this. This is what God said. 1st of August, God called me to access the tree of life. Now, I'd been to the tree of life before in heaven and eaten a couple of its fruits. And I went via the river of life and encountered the tree of life. And this was a different experience. And I was eating fruit there that caused me to feel free and an expansion. And that's very difficult to explain that in physical terms. So that's the only terms I can use. But it's like I ate some of the fruit and I changed in operation of the dimension I was able to reach. It felt like I had wings like a butterfly and I could draw nectar from plants in heaven. That sounds really weird. But as I did it, it became really sweet as it went down on the inside of me. And God said, feed on the sweet revelation that's being released as the books are being opened. These are prophetic books that are being opened in our days. You have read only the first chapter of the first book. So there's so much more that will expand your capacity and your wisdom and your understanding of the knowledge of me that is being released. Now, that's for me, but actually it's for us, because I'm called as a forerunner to release it for other people. You know, I never want to have revelation that I keep to myself. I want to release it to others so that other people can get that and get greater revelation that they can come and release to me. That's how it should work. But God wants people who are willing to pursue it. So then he said, pursue this path. This is your portion of destiny and birthright. This will be true delight to you as you expand your capacity to breathe from the atmosphere of heaven's atmosphere of glory. Breathe deeply, expand your lungs to the maximum. And since that period, I went into 3 months of revelatory encounters in heaven like I'd never experienced before. Because I was willing to say what God did and pursue it. Even though I didn't understand it all, I was willing to pursue it. God said the ancient pathway will lead to ancient knowledge, long forgotten but ready to be restored. God wants to restore to the church and to people long-lost abilities of supernatural things that we need to be ready for. Stand on the sapphire floor and receive the knowledge of trade and of covenant exchange. See, Moses, when he was given the Ten Commandments as a sapphire cube, actually stood on a sapphire floor. But because there wasn't agreement between earth and heaven, what did earth do? Make a golden calf? That sapphire cube was smashed. So God wants us to understand that there is new things. My books are your plants. Probe deeply to extract the ancient truths, 12 fruits, 12 stones, 12 gates, and 12 foundations. We're looking into what those things are. Be more diligent and vigilant to apply and live in what you already know, live in and from heaven. So if we've been given revelation that we're not living in, we're responsible for that. Jesus said, to those that much has been given, much is required. And God has given us an awful lot of things that he requires a lot of. See, if we have only received a little, then only a little is required. But if we've given a lot, we need to be responsible for it. The deeper, more ancient knowledge will become available to those who approach the Ancient of Days, which is a description of God, with passion and desire. Do you desire passionately more of God, more of his revelation, more of the things that he has to reveal? In August 2003, Mike Bryant gave us a prophetic vision. He came unexpectedly and met with us on Sunday, the 25th of August, and he had a vision. And this is what he said. I just had a glorious time in heaven where I saw some stuff going on. God told me that the time is now, and he showed me a red book, and an angel was standing with a red book in his hand. He was showing me that the end of this book, and he said that the end of the season is coming really soon. Remember, God said about a new season and an overlapping of seasons, the end of one season is coming really soon. The red book was not that fat, but it was coming to an end. Then he showed me a black book, and that had gold pages, and a new season is about to start. He started to show me the wealth of heaven and of the chariots of heaven and what is for the future. He showed me that there was going to be an expansion, that God was going to be desiring other people to be on board in this place with the vision and the things that I had been teaching and speaking about. God was showing me that many haven't come to the calling, they haven't taken it up, and some are going to miss it. Now, I would be really, really sad and disappointed if people missed what God was doing because they were not prepared to listen to what was being said. Because this is what Mike Bryant prophesied. There are some people here in our midst who are not actually listening to what God is saying and are going to miss it. Then he went on and said, he showed me, and I don't want to say a sea of people, but he showed me thousands of people were covered with like a flag that was on top of them. And like in some countries where a big flag is put over a profession of people. Have you remember some flags where you get these, in football matches, you see these great huge flags sort of rippling over people. That's what he saw. It says, God was showing me that it was the knowledge and revelation and intensity of the word that God has been releasing in this place was that covering, and it would cover over a lot more people. God was showing me that there was an angel's hand on the book, and God wanted many people to open the book, but many had not been in a place to be able to open this book with its gold pages. Before this black book, I saw a tree, and there was no fruit on the tree except one really bad piece of fruit that was about to drop off. When that fruit drops off, which is self, that book is going to open. So it's really important that we understand what that fruit is. God is about to do a new thing because of his steadfast blood. That was a word, a vision, that was received here in this room while we were worshiping that I take seriously. A, I take it seriously because of previous words that we've had from Mike Bryant that have been particularly applicable for me, because he was the one who prophesied that I would go into heaven. So when he basically gives a word like this, I listen. Mike Bryant was here for 3 months in revival meetings. So he is someone who's significant to us. So we need to open the black book and what's in it. To do that, we need to identify the old bad fruit that needs to be removed before the new season to be released. And that is what we've been seeking to do. And I tell you, it's not been easy. But that fruit has to go. Again, it's old for new. So we have to be willing to let that old go to have new released so we can come into that new season. Now, I went to my throne in heaven and I went to find out more about this black book. And I was calling forth people to rise up, to take possession of their thrones. And I was calling forth things. And an angel came with that new black book. And I saw a page. And it was gold-edged with pearls. And it was ornately inscribed and in the corners. And it was really elaborately decorated. It was a really beautiful page. And on it said, along the top, a new season. And then it said, Ketubah under the hooper. Now you think, what on earth does that mean? Well, there are Hebrew terms. A ketubah is a marriage contract, a prenuptial agreement, if you like. And a chupa or hooper is a covering of a marriage covering. And then on the bottom it said, you are invited to participate in the wedding of Freedom Church and the Lord. Now, we have not entered into that yet. But we are this year going to enter into that. So we're going to need to embrace what a marriage contract is and what a covering is so that we can participate in this intimacy with God. Because we've been invited, and that's one of the pages of this black book. Now, I went to a different court this year, Court of Kings. Never been there before. I was taken to there by wisdom, and I was given an orb of authority. Now, most people, when they get a throne, they get a scepter. But if you look at the queen, when she was things, you get this sort of round orb thing in the other hand, which is a symbol of lawmaking. And I went into this court, and normally you go into a court in heaven and you present yourself before a bench and you get things authorized or agreed, or they give you things. This was different. I went and sat behind the bench, and in front of me was an empty scroll, and I was thinking, what do I do? But as I was thinking that, immediately in my mind, I started to think words. And so I began to think things, and as I thought them, they were written on this scroll in heaven. And what I said was this: I decree in the court the law of fatherhood and sonship. I call forth the spirit that turns the hearts of the children back to their father. I call forth a new dimension in intimacy and relationship in sonship. I call forth the alignment in the spirit with the four faces of God. I call forth a new dimension in the revelation of ministry in alignment. King, prophet, apostle, priest, praise, prophetic, prayer, pastoral. I decree a new foundation of government be established through resonating with the sound frequency of heaven that is calling for restoration. I decree a new kingdom government and a new season where lords rise up, take their heavenly positions and responsibility to establish the new. And as I was there, it was sealed with a lion and an ox and an eagle. And that was three seals. And I was told that I needed to find agreement by man so that that fourth corner could be opened so that this could be released. And I thought, wow, this was a pretty intense experience. And then wisdom took me and took me to another court, the Court of Chancellors, to a bench. There were three chancellors, I guess. It's the Court of Chancellors. And they were basically sort of angelic creatures. And they reviewed what I'd written or thought. And then they authorized it. And then wisdom took me to another court, Court of Scribes. So I hadn't been to any of these places before. And in one encounter, I was taken to three different courts in heaven. And in the Court of Scribes, this whole document was transcribed and it was displayed and it was put into record. And so I was shown what you do to bring new things out of heaven into earth. So then, okay, I took that to Becky and Nigel and we basically meditated over it, prayed over it. We stepped into heaven together with it, and God showed us some things in heaven, and then we brought it before this group of 12 in the church. And it was like, okay, can we find agreement between heaven and earth here? And so after a period of reflection, it was like, yes, we agree. So all 12 of us stepped back into heaven to agree. Now you think this is all really weird stuff. Well, actually, this is all the new stuff that God is revealing. He's given us access to the realms of heaven that have been closed previously. And he wants us to engage there so that we can bring that here. And there has to be agreement between heaven and earth. Then I had another encounter where I saw that book, and that book had that page written into it. The page of the law of fatherhood and sonship was added to the book. And I saw the Spirit of the Lord come, one of the seven spirits of God, when we were meeting together in the training room, stood in the room and hold a scales of justice in his hand, smiling. Now, I took comfort from the fact that he was smiling, because I thought the scales of justice may be tipping in our favor. But the scales were there, and I had another encounter I'll share another time with wisdom. Now, I want to share this, and I'm taking quite a lot of time to do this today because I think it's really important we get hold of what God is doing. I went to the Garden of God, which is in heaven, And I was directed to look at the golden mountain that's in the garden of God. You know, it talks about Eden, and it talks about a garden that God made. God made a garden for man that was connected to his garden in heaven. And the river of life flowed from one to another. And I went to the top of that golden mountain, and I met one of the chief angels of the angelic order of the Chaoth, and his name is Metatron. And he's the key keeper and the timekeeper of heaven. And he's an interesting living creature, and I think Alice has actually seen him here once before. But he gave me a golden key, and he basically said, this is to open up the realms of heaven to those who are truly hungry and seeking. And from the time that that golden key was given, the groups that we were meeting with, which we call Joshua Generation groups, during the week, things started to open up. And the people I would be meeting with around the world, the realms of heaven started to open up to them as well. Now, I resisted this for a few months because I knew the implication of using that key to open up the realms of heaven for people. And so I was practicing it here with the groups here, and we opened up into the angelic realm, opened up people to see their angels, to engage with heaven, and it opened up a whole different dimension, which led to people engaging with their mountains and different things. Now, I know, and I knew, that if I was to do this on a wider scale, it would have implications. Because we've been called to be an apostolic resource, not just for people here, but for people around the world. But once you start to engage with people around the world, there are implications in terms of time and what it takes. But God really twisted my arm, and he wouldn't let it go. And in the end, I sort of surrendered and gave in. And what I did, I shared, I'd been running a forum, private forum online, and it had 17 people in it, and it was called Preparing for Destiny. And it was people mostly in the States, although there was a few people from Germany and around about. And I shared with them what God had said, that I needed to be proactive rather than reactive, because all I'd done was answer questions. This forum was a group where people could come and ask their questions about all sorts of weird and wonderful things, and I would answer them. That was it. I never used it to actually say anything. I just answered questions. But God started to open the doors once I'd been obedient. That's what tends to happen. When you're obedient, God starts to do stuff. When you're not obedient, he's waiting for your obedience to bless you. And so I opened the doors there. And since then, that forum has gone from 17 members to 112 members. I was asked by 5 people to personally mentor them. And most of those were in the States. 2 of them, you know, some of you know, were people from Germany. And I started what was a Google Plus account. A Google Plus is a way of interacting, which is slightly different to Facebook. And since then, there are now 500 followers who are following that Google Plus account online. Then I discovered Google Hangouts, where you can talk to people online, and you can get it recorded, and you can save the recording as a YouTube video, all done for you, which was like, hey, that's pretty good. And so I did this YouTube video, and in October, I posted a YouTube video entitled My Journey to See in the Spirit. Since then, basically 1,000 people have watched that. And it's an hour long, so it's not a short thing. I now supernaturally mentor 10 groups in Europe and the USA and Canada. I'm mentoring a group of students and ex-students to start a church plant on the principles of what God is saying, the new things. I'm really excited for them, because they're not going to have all the junk and all the rubbish of all the religious spirit and political spirit that operates trying to stop you coming into the new. They're going to start off new. And there's another group who are a more traditional church that have asked me to help them transition into this new revelation. They're a group in Washington somewhere in the States. Now, that YouTube channel now has 200 subscribers since October. I've done 23 mentoring videos with different groups of people. They're all up online for people to watch, and there's been 7,500 views with 109,000 minutes, or 1,800 hours. Why am I telling you it? Because God said he was going to expand and more people were going to be under the covering of that word. Because I accepted the responsibility of being obedient. Now, since then, our website views have increased by about 10 times. We've sold more resources by 5 online, 50 times increase on our downloads. And we've set up a new website because people wanted to access the resources that we've got. Jeremy's going to share briefly about the Sons of Issachar blog.
Okay, about a little bit over 2 years ago, I was involved in a whole lot of stuff about social media and understanding what goes on the internet, and which I really hadn't got any clue about. And I started hearing a lot about blogging. And I was working for Freedom Social Projects, and I couldn't really make blogging kind of work for FSP. I felt God was telling me to do something. So I went to Mike and said, how would it be if I took the stuff that you're teaching on a Sunday morning and kind of rework it into bite-sized pieces and post it on a blog? And bless him, he said, you're all right, go ahead. I don't know what he thought, but he said, all right, go ahead. And really, not a lot happened to start with, but this is what it looks like. This is post number 149 over the space of a little bit over 2 years. And what's actually happened is I started to blog what Mike had started preaching about or speaking about back in 2010. And this was 2011 when I was doing this. I'm now 2 years behind. So I started off 1 year behind, and I'm now 2 years behind, despite producing this much material. So for a long time, So for a long time, as you can see there, not a whole lot happened. I was getting a handful of people having a look at what was written, and it just kind of meandered along, ups and downs, to sort of November 2012. And then into this year, God began to do something new, and it began to increase. And I got really, really excited when we got to here. And then Mike started talking about thrones and about taking a place of responsibility, and I really felt that God was saying that I had a throne on the media mountain and I needed to go and engage with it. So July the 20th, I went and sat on the throne on the media mountain for the first time. So July is around about, can't reach it, is April, May, June, July, is about there. Thank you. And all I did was sit, and I felt like this electricity shooting out from me and connecting with stuff. And I got off the throne, as you do when you sort of come back to the real world again. Well, how real is the world? But, and I found that as I did that, and as I began to engage more and more with sitting on that throne, things started to happen. More and more people started to pick up on the blog. Until last month, getting on for just over 12,000 page views on the blog last month. And this month, it's just about nudging over 10,000. You may think, why has it gone down? The answer is, every day in November, I posted a new blog post. I wrote 25,000 words in November. Put them up there because God said you need to do this. I came across a scheme that was National Blog Posting Month. Bit of a misnomer because it's international really. And I posted every day. And as you see, there was a quantum in the number of people that were engaging with it. And this is not to blow my own trumpet. This is to say, this is what happens when you take God at his word and you do what he says. Exactly the same as Mike has said. That's how it goes. Can we just have a look at the next slide, Mike, please? There we go. Okay, these are the countries in the world where people have looked at that blog since the 25th of February 2012. As you can see, it's pretty much everywhere, with just a little bit of a problem in the 1040 window here in North Africa and into Asia. Which is mostly Muslim. But pretty much everywhere else in the world, people have engaged with that blog. Nearly 23,000 in the United States, 6,500 page views in the UK. So this is a worldwide ministry. Just like any of the other ministries that we know, this is going around the world. And we have to be really, really careful that we don't miss it. Because the people around the world see what we present to them. They see Mike doing his presentation. They see what I've written. They don't have to live with us. They don't have to get over the opportunities to get offended and upset or to miss it. But we do. Because we live here and we know each other and we rub each other up the wrong way and we have the opportunity to get offended and to get off track. So please, what's in my heart really is to say, let's not get offended. Let's deal with the things that would stop us taking God at his word and moving forward. Can we go again? This is Mike's YouTube channel. You probably won't remember that that link, but everything that Mike has posted on YouTube is on there. And guys, you need to listen to it. I'm in a privileged position because I'm hearing loads of stuff from Mike because I am hearing what goes on here on a Sunday morning. I'm hearing what I'm blogging from 2 years ago because I'm playing the recordings of that and reordering that and rewriting that. And I'm also listening to what Mike is talking to other people around the world about. Plus, I meet with him as well, so that's probably four. So, I'm getting loads of opportunity to engage with what God is saying. It really, really is important. So this is a great way of engaging with what God is saying. Is that it? All right. One more thing. If you miss a Sunday morning, just need to go here. Freedom Church website. Click on listen to our latest podcast message and you'll hear it, you'll be able to catch up. So you don't ever need to miss something. You can know what has gone on. That's up there live for the whole week for free. Even after that, you can still get it. If you go into the church members area, you can still get it. But keep up to date with what God is saying and with what Mike is bringing, because we need to respond and time is getting short.
Okay. That is the demographics of the YouTube channel, and you'll notice who's listening, who's watching. Mostly people between the ages of 35 and 65. Remember last time I spoke about getting your destiny and fulfilling what God's called you to do? You get to a point where you've done all the stuff in the world and you've got over a load of stuff that you've been working and raising family and raising children and doing all that stuff. And then you've got a time to reflect. The world calls it a midlife crisis. I call it an opportunity to see, am I going to waste the rest of my life or am I going to fulfill my destiny with God? And we have an opportunity. Now, most of the people who are listening are in that group who are the Joshua generation. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were 80 when they took the promised land. They weren't 50 or 30 or 20. They were 80. But they listened to God. They took hold of their destiny and their inheritance and they went for it. And they took the land and they took all these years, 0 to 13, 13 to 17, 15 to 24, 24 to 34. They took them in with them. And that is what we're called to do, to take people into the revelation of their inheritance. That's God's desire. Now, there's a hunger around the world for this. Question is there a hunger here? And Jeremy's mentioned this, but I want to do this. It's like, let me go back. Matthew 13:57. They took offense at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Now that is sad. Jesus' hometown and his own household didn't get the benefit of his ministry. Why? Because they took offense. Now you can take offense at me as much as you like. I don't really mind. But don't take offense at the word that God is bringing. Familiarity does breed contempt. And therefore it's easy to look at the messenger and not like him, and therefore don't listen to the message. It's like Don't allow that to stop you receiving what God has got. Honor the message that God is entrusting us with, because that message is going all around the world to thousands of people. Don't miss it here, because here should be the greatest opportunity of expressing what God is wanting to do and give us an opportunity of being a forerunner people. Don't miss it. Jesus warned about the leaven of Herod and the Pharisees, that political and religious spirit. And it's been waging war here all year. It's been attacking this new revelation because it attacks the prophets. Jezebel tried to kill and wipe out the prophets because she did not want them bringing the word of God. Political maneuvering, currying favor, factions, divisions, enmity, strife, gossip are all marks of the political spirit. Religious spirit, skepticism, cynicism, criticism, and judgmentalism. And there's plenty of that that's been around this year. Now, God is going to deal with it. One way or another, he is going to deal with it, because we're not going to move on carrying that stuff with us. We're going to move on one heart and one mind and one purpose. So if you've got any of those things, deal with them before God deals with you. Because there's been great resistance to change this year. To let go of that old and embrace the new. And I'm saying it as it is. And it's been really hard work overcoming the inertia that wants to maintain the old. But that old fruit on the tree that Mike Bryant prophesied, it still needs to be removed. Now, that can be in us. And how he described it was rotten. And God wants to remove the rotten fruit so that he can bring us into a new season. Now, God told me that if we do not remove it from the tree, he's going to shake the tree pretty violently. So I'd rather not have a violent shaking. And I'd rather just remove the fruit and let's get on with it and move forward in what God's got. See, this year we've seen the Joshua Generation groups grow in encountering God and experiencing God as we've pressed through some of the obstacles and spiritual dynamics that there were to overcome. We had to press through them. We've seen more openness and honesty and some of the honor that is going to be key to spiritual growth and maturity. But we need more. We need to honor each other and in the things that God has called us to. We've been on a journey from slavery to sonship, understanding our inheritance, our identity, our redemptive gift, and our destiny. We've seen the sound of heaven being tuned into. It's being released out of heaven, and God is going to give us revelation of what that means next year. The four faces of God have been revealed here, and I'll explain some of that next time. The name of God has been revealed. We're hearing his name sung and spoken. There's been a major shift in worship to connect with heaven. Now, some of you don't like that. Get over it. Because actually, God is the one who's bringing this shift. If you don't like it, that's your choice. But we're not going to change. We're going deeper into the things of God. This journey is taking people from Israel through the wilderness to the promised land. Now, we're going to cross over to a new season. We are going to cross over to a new season. I'm telling you that because we're going to do it. The old provision and the old lifestyle of the wilderness will cease. It stopped. The manna and the quails stopped. The miracles that Moses did stopped. Then they were all responsible for living in the land. The question is, do you want your full inheritance as a son of God? Are you willing to cross over? So I've reviewed some of this year. I'm going to present what God has said for the next year when we meet again. And I'm going to give everyone a choice. Do you want to continue with this journey with us or not? If you choose to continue, you've got to be in agreement with the new ways. If you're not in agreement with the new ways, find somewhere where you can be in agreement with. Because you have to have agreement in your life. And it's like, I don't want people to be in disagreement with what God is doing and saying and being judgmental and critical. So you've got a choice. Everyone has got a choice. I'm not assuming anyone wants to go. I'm going, just like Joshua said, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. So some of us have made that decision. We're going to give everyone a choice over the next few weeks to make that choice and make that decision. to embrace the new sound of heaven and to begin to resonate with it, not be in discord and disharmony, to come into alignment with heaven. I saw this little phrase written the other day. Hope is the ability to hear the music of tomorrow. Faith is the courage to dance to it today. God is calling us to dance to the music of heaven today. And that's what we want to do. End of the old and beginning of the new year. Old things to let go of and new things to embrace. Now, I want to finish with this, and I know I've been a long time, but I want you to think. You have an opportunity at the end of the old year to let a load of stuff go. Or you've got an opportunity to keep hold of it and take it into a new year and continue with it in your life. And I'm going to read these out. If you're holding on to something that does not belong to you and was never intended for your life, you need to let it go. Just think about these statements. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If you're still affected by disappointment or discouragement, let it go. If you're still affected by being rejected, unsupported, undervalued, or ignored, let it go. We've all had it. It's a choice whether we keep it and let it affect us or let it go. If people have made you feel insignificant, unaccepted, and unappreciated, let it go. If you're still demotivated by your past failures or others' bad treatment of you, let it go. If your past is still negatively affecting your present and clouding your future, let it go. If you're demotivated by unfulfilled dreams and vision or expectation, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or an addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help someone who won't even try and help themselves, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you've got a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. Your sinful nature, let it go. Your iniquitous patterns from generations, let it go. Your negative bloodline influences, let them go. Your genetic seed line records, let it go. All of that can go as we take break bread and apply that to our lives. Your slave identity, let it go. Your slavery mindset, let it go. Your old religious mindsets, let it go. Your old earthly methods, let it go. Your own cynicism, skepticism, criticism, and judgmentalism, let it go. And that was pretty bad. It gets worse. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there's a particular situation that you're so used to handling yourself, and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let go of the past, let it be the past, forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for 2014. Let it go. The battle is God's. If you let it go, if you want to keep hold of it, guess whose battle it is? Yours. And guess what you'll do if you keep hold of that battle without God's strength? You'll be weary, tired, and worn out. Now that was the bad news. Let's get some good news. Your identity in God, grab hold of it with both hands and don't let it go. Your destiny in God, grab hold of it. Who you are in Christ, grab hold of it. The plan and purpose for your life, grab hold of it. Your inheritance in God, grab hold of it. Your spiritual gifts, grab hold of it. The fruit of the Spirit, grab hold of it. Your blessing, grab hold of it. Your forgiveness, grab hold of it. Your healing, grab hold of it. Your peace, grab hold of it. Your joy, grab hold of it. Your access to God, grab hold of it. Your debt cancellation, grab hold of it. Your financial blessing, grab hold of it. Your breakthrough in God, grab hold of it. Your relationship with God, grab hold of it. Your intimacy with God, grab hold of it. Your anointing with the Holy Spirit, grab hold of it. God's love for you, grab hold of it. Your heavenly encounters, grab hold of it. Your heavenly mountain thrones, grab hold of that. Your kingdom authority, grab hold of it. Your access into the heavenly courts, grab hold of it. Because they're not just for me. They're for all of us here. To grab hold of everything that God has for us. Your identity as lords. Because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're the lords and the kings that he's King of Kings over and Lord of Lords over. That's your identity. Your identity as sons, grab hold of it. The choice to hold on or let go is yours. The choice to embrace the new is yours. You're going to make that choice one way or another. Be positive. This year is an opportunity to enter into something brand new, a new season, but you have to be willing to let go of the old to embrace the new. And my encouragement would be willing. When I resisted God, it wasn't very pleasant for a couple of months. But when I gave in to God and said yes, he opened up a whole new realm and a whole new doors of opportunity. And he will for each of us. Just as Jeremy said, when Jeremy chose to sit on the mountain of authority that he'd been given, God started to work and do things that were outside of his own personal control. That's what happens when we take the positions of authority that God gives us. He starts to open doors that no one can close. This year, the key of David is going to be released. If you look at Isaiah 22:2, or I think it's 22:2, talks about the key of David. The key of David is the sound of heaven that opens doors that no one can shut and shuts doors that no one can open. And God is going to open doors this year with the key of David and the sounds of heaven that are being released. My encouragement is be part of it. But if you don't want to be part of it, then be blessed. Just be blessed somewhere else. Amen.